Electoral College ruling, no mask mandate. I'm Mike Moss. The Supreme Court has made a unanimous and important election year decision. Correspondent Jessica Schneider reports the High Court says electors must cast their Electoral College votes as their states require, not as they might personally wish.
This didn't even become an issue until the 2016 election, when 10 of the electors actually tried to vote for a different candidate. There were several electors in Washington state who actually tried to vote for Hillary Clinton. There was also an elector in Colorado who did not want to vote for the person that they were supposed to vote for. So this case came all the way to the Supreme Court.
The White House is again rejecting calls for a national mask-wearing mandate. The White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows says the president sees the issue as a state-to-state matter. New Jersey's Governor Phil Murphy says he'd like to see a national strategy on the coronavirus, including a mask requirement. Washington correspondent Scott Carr reports some researchers believe there may be an even greater need for wearing face coverings.
In an open letter to the World Health Organization and other agencies, a group of 239 international scientists are telling local and national officials they need to be more forthright in explaining the airborne nature of the virus. They insist the virus can float through the air, that it's likely transmitting that way, and that's why experts tell you to wear face masks and stop going to crowded bars, churches, and other especially indoor spaces.
You may have forgotten the story behind the film, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, the Western, but you'll never forget the theme. The Italian composer Ennio Morricone, the Oscar-winning composer of that memorable theme and more than 500 film scores, that died at the age of 91. The Dow up 360 points. I'm Mike Moss.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance. And MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month, but you might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's health care costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by July 31st, and you'll save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have, and start saving. Here it is. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service, there's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center, and when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters, the best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
At 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating, we offer essential services to help keep your home comfortable. We all know comfort is key in these challenging times. If your air system is giving you trouble, contact our team of professionally trained technicians. We are here for you 24/7 with same-day appointments available at 844-1-HOUR or visit us online at 1hourair.com.
Our comfort is just a call away.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
Sunny, extremely hot week will continue with 111 the high for today and tomorrow. 80 the nighttime lows with sunshine, south wind at 10 both days. Wednesday, sunny and 109, 78 Wednesday night.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Decent Garner Law Firm, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hansen.
AM 560 KBLU, Russ Clark with you. It's 8:06 on a Monday morning. Life, Death, and the Law is just starting. I know personally that Adam Hansen is on his way this morning. He must be caught in traffic or something. of course, and he wants to talk about health care this morning, legal health care, which is interesting, and he's right down the road. Mostly what the boys do, and I'm talking Decent Garner Hansen Law Firm, is living trust, wills, those kind of things, to make sure they take care of people after they've gotten ill, can't take care of themselves, pass away. How does the separation go into the kids or to the ones that you have willed things to or put in your living trust to take care of? And how is all that done? It's actually simplified by them. I mean, I like what they do. They give great seminar explaining the living trust and how it does simplify things and make things immediate versus having to go to probate, which is basically go to the courts. The court system has to approve everything if it doesn't have a living trust. So they tell you how to avoid that nightmare, which can be a nightmare because that's challenged. It takes time. It takes money. It takes resources. And to avoid that nightmare is something that they will go through. And I've learned so much listening to the show and learned so much being on the show, but some of the things that are most impactful to me when they talk about probate is that probate, they don't send an invitation to just the ones that maybe are in the will or something. They send the invitation literally to everybody that does have a claim on the whole thing. Let me see, that way you're going to get the uncles, the aunts, and the people that you probably didn't want to have in the will, that have no claim to anything in the will, they're going to show up and challenge. And that's where the mess starts. And that's where the problems, for me, that I saw the real nightmare that can be avoided, that can be done to the wishes of the person that writes the thing and not necessarily go through the drama and the process of a long drawn out challenge and court type dates. Speaking of Adam, he did just walk in. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. You're exactly right about the probate issue. I was.
That's one of the more nightmarish things that you've mentioned.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, I had a case where a man came into my office and he said, well, my wife passed away of many years. It's a second marriage. And she did this really kind of an odd thing, he said. He said that she, prior to her passing, she got into their joint bank account and she basically drained it. She put it into an account that was just in her name.
Okay.
And the only logic he could come up with was that he had experienced some health issues recently, and those health issues had, he thought, spooked her such that she thought, well, I need to get money out of our joint account, so if something happens to him, if he dies, then I can just go ahead and have access to our money. It won't be locked up by the bank or anything like that. And so she went ahead and did that, unbeknownst to him. And so he pulled through these health issues, and she was the one that passed away.
Oh, no.
And so now that she has died, he came to my office because when he went to his own bank to get into those accounts or to see where that money had gone, they won't talk to him because he's not on those accounts that she opened up. She opened up accounts just in her name. And then
so
put this money in there.
Being married had nothing to do with that. It has to go to probate. It has to go to the courts.
Exactly right.
And good luck with that.
So what's happened now is that she had assets in her own name, and they're over the allowable amount here in Arizona of $75,000 for what we call a small estate probate, now we've got to go to court just to get court authority to get into those bank accounts and get his money back. And all that could have been avoided had they just had proper planning in place.
And just left it where it was, but proper planning is the key.
Exactly right.
So it's not a challenge. You have a phone call, by the way. You're on the air.
Yeah, Russ, I don't like to interrupt what Adam's talking about. There was an automobile accident on the corner of Avenue A and 16th Street. So if you're going in that direction, you might want to try to avoid that intersection.
Thank you so much for letting us know, buddy. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mel.
Hey, you bet your wife.
Right.
You can, and Mel, you can interrupt me anytime you want. anything Mel has to say is so much more important than what I have.
I'm
going to
listen.
Yeah.
But that's terrible. Accident. Stay away there for Avenue A and 16.
That's right. Yeah.
That's a busy intersection.
That is a busy intersection. So I'm glad
Mel
called in.
You didn't pull through there, did you?
No, I didn't. Okay. I go this back way on 32nd around the Big Bend, which is equally just as busy. I mean, it's really busy. At this time of the morning, everybody trying to get to work. But getting back to the probate issue, like you mentioned, Russ, we prior to coming in, you and I were talking back and forth, and I expressed that I wanted to talk about healthcare documents today because I had the opportunity to go up to Utah for the 4th of July holiday, and it was an odd thing because right when we crossed the line from Nevada, we went up the river through Las Vegas, and then over on the 15 up to Salt Lake, around that Salt Lake area. And as we crossed over from Nevada, well, even from Arizona to Nevada, face masks were still required. So as we would stop to get gas, you had to have a face mask to go into the convenience store.
Wow.
But once we got to Utah, hardly anybody was wearing a face mask in the St. George area. And as we started going north towards the Salt Lake, we started to see them a little bit more, but they weren't required. You could go in the store. It was like business as usual. Nothing. You would have never known that there was a pandemic.
How'd you like that?
It was liberating, but then it was odd to me because at the very beginning of all this, you know, you would look at people with face masks like, oh, you're one of those people, you know? Yeah. But now you look at the people that don't have face masks. I feel like here in Arizona, if you don't have a face mask, you're kind of like, hey, what are you doing? You got to wear your face mask outside. And so the total role reversal happened over the weekend because when we were traveling up in Utah and we would go into these convenience stores and things like that, we were the ones that people were looking at us like, why are you wearing a face mask? You look like a moron. But I felt good about wearing a face mask and going around about. We also got, I wouldn't say persecuted, but I would say that once people found out we were from Arizona, they would like, stand back. Everybody is afraid of Arizonans right now.
Well, we've had big numbers, particularly in Yuma.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yuma has been a hot spot.
Sure, but I think as I was coming today to the show, as I was driving, I was thinking, I mean, they might be on that high horse right now, but if they don't start wearing face masks, then they're going to be in the same boat. And actually, by the time we had left, my sister-in-law, she had read a story, a news article that saying that Utah had reached its highest point, its daily report of cases reported in a day. I think like the day right before we left. So it's not like Arizona is a breeding ground necessarily. I think everywhere is a breeding ground. I think we just it hit us a little harder, faster, because we started taking in others from different places, like El Centro and Sonora, things like that. And so once that came into our community, it was just kind of a matter of time before it got out of control. But I don't know how you feel about the mandate, but I was thinking from Governor Ducey, prior to going up to Utah, my wife and I were talking about this in the car, and she said it was just ironic that here we're going to celebrate the 4th of July, in other words, our freedom of tyranny from England, and
homegrown tyranny.
Yeah, exactly. We've got this mandate of face masks.
That's. I tell your wife I agree with her completely. It's kind of terrible. You got to take a break.
We got to go to a break. Let's go to a break. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
They held your hand on the first day of school. They've been there for every important milestone in your life. Now it's your turn to be there for them. As the area's only non-for-profit hospice, Hospice of Yuma works to ensure that your loved one receives the quality care and attention they deserve. If you have a family member diagnosed with a terminal illness and are feeling overwhelmed, we want you to know that you and your family are not alone. The community's best hospice care provider is only one call away. For more information, contact Hospice of Yuma. Your community, your hospice.
Representatives Joanne Osborne and Tim Dunn and Senator Sina Kerr are Yuma's conservative team for the Arizona legislature. Joanne Osborne and Tim Dunn understand that we need agriculture and strong water policy to protect the future of Yuma County. Tim Dunn and Sina Kerr have spent their careers in agriculture. Joanne Osborne owns a small business and was the outstanding business leader of the year. Our conservative team will fight to protect our military bases while holding the line on unnecessary spending. They have worked with Governor Ducey to cut burdensome regulations and at the same time provide our children's teachers the pay raises they deserve. Their opponent deeply cut education funding and voted for special interest tax cuts that raised our property taxes. Tim Dunn, Joanne Osborne, and Sina Kerr are the right team for Yuma. Please vote for Tim Dunn and Joanne Osborne for the House and Sina Kerr for the Senate. Paid for by GPL Committee for Arizona Leadership, not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hansen. This is 560 AM KBLU. Russ and I were just talking before the break about the mandatory mandate. Yeah.
Mandatory mandate. I guess that's fair.
That's what
redundant,
it is.
But
yeah. That Governor Ducey put in place last week, I believe it was, and then he also, within that mandate, he also mandated that gyms close and bars and things like that.
I talked to Justin from Fourth Avenue on air. You know, he's so disappointed. I mean, so sad. They've done so much to take care of safety protocols and not like bars, you know. I mean, they're not even drinking in there. You know, and so disappointed because they're where people should be going to get healthy.
When did you interview him? Was it the day after?
Yeah, it was on the 1st.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I was curious because he's got that new gym out there.
Both of them closed. Had to lay 30 people off.
Wow, wow. Yeah, across from a Walmart out there. Yeah. Have you seen this new gym? It's gorgeous.
I've been in it. Just the outside.
He just built that, and then COVID happened, and I feel really bad. I was hoping that he would just stick it to the man and stay open, but
he did for a day.
Yeah. And so I wondered what the pressures were.
So the police were called on him. Somebody called the police. They have to respond. Mm-hmm. And they had to caution him that this was a warning, but it would get more severe afterwards.
Interesting.
You know, so.
I wonder what the penalty would be.
Oh, there's fines and stuff involved, mm-hmm. and losing your license potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Operation.
Your business
license.
Yeah. Interesting. I like to see people stick it to the man, so I was hoping he would stay in business, but I get that, if that's what was going on, and I feel bad for him, and I feel bad for all those gym owners. I know personally some gym owners as well, and they all said the same thing, that this is ridiculous, that we're not going to do it, but once you get the police called on you, I mean, what are you going to do?
These are people keeping their immune system strong, staying healthy,
mm-hmm.
and they're closed down.
Right. Yeah, it makes total sense, right?
No.
When the government tells you what to do.
Right.
So, we are experiencing some weird things nowadays, and some of those have to do with going to the hospital, and if you get that bad with this particular virus strain or this pandemic, then you might end up in our hospital or hospital abroad, and when that happens, oftentimes what I've experienced in my own personal life with my wife and with my kids and going to the hospital, which we go often because I've got six kids.
Oh, God.
But yeah. Oftentimes, at least here at YRMC, when you go in, they're going to do an intake process, obviously. And if you've been there before, they have your records on file and they'll go through those things. But oftentimes they'll ask, well, not oftentimes, they have to ask, do you have a healthcare power of attorney in place? Do you have a living will? And if you don't have one of those, then they'll provide those to you and for you. And what I've often experienced is when the person is going in at that time to the hospital, they're not in the right frame of mind to making decisions regarding who's going to be in control of their healthcare decisions, what would happen if they're on this ventilator or on this machine and it's keeping them alive and they're unconscious, they can't make decisions, what's going to happen.
It's a tough time to make it.
And all this happens in a split second. We've got a phone call.
Yes.
You want to take that, Russ?
You're on the air.
Good morning.
I'm not sure if it's in Mexico or United States. My friend had her in-law that needed to go to the ER, and because the hospital was full, they refused to take them.
Yeah, and they have the right to do that nowadays, and that is happening. If they are to capacity or they don't have the facilities available to take in that person, then they are within their rights to reject them.
Wait, did that happen here in Yuma or did it happen in Mexico?
I'm not sure, but that's what I'm asking, because I also found out, because we have American citizens living in Mexico who also want to come over here to take advantage of our hospitals over here.
Yes.
And so that might be another reason why our numbers went way up. But anyway, I couldn't remember what she said, but
right.
It made sense. And like, was it Adam said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. That they can do that, so I feel better.
All right. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Yeah, if they don't have or they don't feel like they have the facilities available to take in patients, they're going to ship them out or refer them to other hospitals.
I knew in Mexico they were turning people away, and that's why we've been inundated.
Right.
People have just come here, and our hospital is jammed. I don't think we're to the point that anyone's ever been refused service here.
I don't think so either.
Ever happened.
I don't think so. I think you're right on that. At least not that I've heard from hospital administrators. I don't think we're to that point. I think we're in a pretty good position where we had a little bit of foresight. We weren't the New York or the Seattle where that was kind of the epicenter of the pandemic outbreak, and they got hit so fast, so hard that they had to respond and start asking for help from all over the nation, which is another interesting thing. You've got Mayor Cuomo who's, you know.
But they never completely exhausted their entire system. They didn't. They didn't even use that ship that was there.
Yeah, right. Or Central Park. I think they were setting up
makeshift
tents.
And then tore it down.
Never really.
It.
Yeah, exactly. And then they were Mayor Cuomo said, hey, we need all the help we can get, all hands on deck. Anybody from any state, all you registered nurses, come over here. We'll pay you, you know, basically hazard pay to get you over here because we need your help.
And then charge them New York taxes.
Exactly. And now, Sean, my partner, he said, oh, yeah, we were going to go to New York for the 4th of July with our family. Mm. He's got family that lives there, so it makes it really convenient for them.
In the city or in the state?
A little bit outside the city,
okay.
But a hop, skip, and a jump, so they can get to the city really easily.
Yeah.
And so they were going to do this little 4th of July getaway, and lo and behold, their tickets were canceled by the airlines prior to them leaving last week,
yeah.
And non-refundable, so they won't give their money back. Because
what?
The mayor says, no, anybody from Arizona can't come in here.
Right.
And so they canceled their tickets
on
them.
Yeah, we're one of like 15 states that they put on there.
A mandate,
that you won't be able to go to New York.
Right.
Oh, man, and they non-refundable.
Yeah, which was so weird to me. I had talked to a client before about, I don't know, a month and a half ago, and she had mentioned that she had tickets, but they got canceled by the airlines because of the pandemic, but they refunded everything to them. And it wasn't an insurance thing. It wasn't one of these things where you get flight insurance, you know, and you can, if something happens, you just don't make the flight or whatever, you get some of it back or maybe all of it back. It wasn't that. It was just the airline was just giving money back because of, I imagine,
goodwill.
Goodwill, yeah. And good publicity, you know. But that, and I asked Sean about that. I said, that's what's so weird to me, that they didn't give, they cancel your tickets, keep your money, and
say
said,
bye-bye.
Sorry. And he said, yeah, they're not giving the money back. This is so weird to me. I would think that they would, at least for the goodwill of their customers, give money back. But we'll see.
The world's upside down.
It is upside down, and we've got to figure out how to bob and weave, you know, like the great Ali once said.
And there has been people that have been devastated by this coronavirus. I have a friend that spent 11 days in the hospital. So hopefully, you know, he had the things in place that you talked about ahead of time.
So I've met with a lot of people, even some that have had it, and a while back, you know, maybe a month or two ago. And so they've gone through the whole incubation stage, they've gone through the quarantine, and then came back. I've never met a person that was hospitalized for it, and I've never heard of anybody personally within my, you know, realm, my family or my extended family that has been hospitalized with it. Even those that have contracted it, they've recovered relatively quickly,
sure.
2 or 3 days. And
that's been my experience with friends. And I personally think I've had it, but I've never been tested.
When did you have it?
Last week.
Let's take a phone call.
And here I am with a face mask. Oh,
no.
Thanks for telling me, Russ.
Not that soon.
You're on the air. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and Law.
Hey, this is Larry. Now, I just had a quick question for you guys. I have an autistic daughter, and I'm wondering how soon do you need to do power attorney and things like that for when they turn 18?
Well, very quickly. Yeah, that's a great question, and I'm glad that you asked that because a lot of people are in your same shoes. Not saying that their children have autism, but when they become 18, that is the magic number in our legal system that says, okay, this person is an adult. Whether they have those tendencies and those maturity level or not, you're an adult as far as the law is concerned. And I've seen some real horror stories where kids go off to college, mom and dad send them off to college, they're so proud, and then something happens and they've got to go to the hospital. Mom and dad are trying to get information from the health insurance company, or they're trying to get information from the doctors, and they won't give the information to the parents because, in the eyes of the law, they're not a person that are, they aren't people that are allowed to get that information.
Parents are not, whether they're paying the bill or not.
Not without some sort of HIPAA authorization that's signed by that 18-year-old or that 19-year-old.
Okay.
So it's very important to get those things in place when they turn 18. And they are the ones that have to do it. Mom and dad can't sign something on their behalf. If that individual has to sign a health care power of attorney, a mental health care power of attorney, there would be a HIPAA authorization, HIPAA release. That is the document that allows the doctors to release medical information to those that are authorized in that document. So in this particular case for your child, they would sign something saying, yeah, my parents can get information from my doctors, or the health insurance company can release my health information to my parents. And without that, they're just not going to do it because they don't want to be liable for giving out information against HIPAA laws.
But at what age can she sign it as an...
18.
She has to be 18 to sign it.
That's right. So she's 17.
Before, she can't sign it.
It's not a contract, right?
Okay.
So
where do you even get started doing that?
My office. You can call my office. But, yeah, if you call my office up, we can sit down and we can talk with you about it and put together a little package. We call it a healthcare package. It's a little... it contains a healthcare power of attorney, mental healthcare power of attorney. There's a HIPAA authorization, cremation directives or burial directives, and anatomical gifting forms. That's organ donation type things or body donation.
So you could have that prepared and ready so the day they turn 18?
They sign it, yeah, and it's legally valid that day. Yeah, and witness.
Say happy birthday here, sign this.
There you go. And it's a good thing to have.
What do you do if she's not able to, you know, mentally sign, you know, somebody who's completely... let's just say mentally retarded, not able to you know, actually sign or do any of those things.
In that particular case, then we would go through, we would get court authority. It's called a guardianship. So you would ask the court to appoint somebody as the guardian, and the guardian can put those things in place for that individual.
And the parents would generally be the guardian if they choose, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, most of the time.
So they would be guardian, and then you'd still need to have the signature on the... healthcare?
They would sign on behalf of the person.
They would sign on behalf.
In that particular case, we would talk about probably putting together what we call a special needs trust or a supplemental needs trust, because if you have an individual that it's foreseen that they just aren't going to function in society and they're probably going to receive state benefits or government benefits over time for whatever disability that they have, then we're going to look at other ways to protect that person without having to keep going back to court and getting court authority. And that usually comes in the form of what we call a special needs trust or a supplemental needs trust. They'll need initial authority from the court to designate an individual to sign that special needs trust on behalf of the incapacitated person. But once you have that authority, then the special needs trust is a private entity that is created to protect that person. And it goes on and on and on until they pass away.
And that doesn't need to be redone. That's there.
That's right. It's kind of like a little box. And any money that comes from the government to that individual over time,
goes through it.
It will go, any excess will go into that pot, because what will happen is the government will give individuals money for their disabilities, and but they also have rules that say, well, you can't have more than $150 in your account or else you get kicked off benefits. Well, by the end of the month, oftentimes they have more money than $150 in their bank account or $200 in their bank account. And so if they were to keep that month to month in their bank account, the government will kick them off those disability benefits. And so the special needs trust is a really good way to catch the excess. So let's say that you get $500 a month from the government and that disabled person didn't spend all that in the given month. Now they've got an excess. You take that excess and you dump it into the special needs trust, and it just sits there and builds up and accumulates.
Okay.
And they can use that for virtually anything that they want, going to the movies, eating out, entertainment, that kind of stuff.
So here's a question then. My daughter's currently 13. About how long before she turns 18 do we really need to start addressing this or getting all these things in place?
17 and a half is when the law here in Arizona says that you can start putting together the guardianship for her, and it's effective upon her 18th birthday. So... you can start it ahead of time, and then once she turns 18, the court order is written in such a way that upon her 18th birthday, you're her legal guardian and you're making decisions for her. It's like she continues to be your child, and that's what the law says. And it's kind of odd, because a lot of times in my work, and I do this for younger kids as well, but sometimes we have to do it for an older adult that might be the parent of a person. And in the eyes of the law, that adult, that parent, becomes a child for health purposes and things like that. So that's what the law says. And so just think of it as being the eternal parent for that person. You're going to make decisions regarding their health and education and finances.
But then the trust, once it's set up, that whoever administers that can be passed to someone else's hands at some point.
Exactly right. Yeah, but you've got to have a little bit of court authority in the beginning to establish all this and get it set up. And I usually do it through what we call a one-time guardianship conservatorship action, which gives me special authority to bring the trust to the court and say, listen, we don't need this long, drawn-out guardianship conservatorship where the parents have to report back to the court every year after year. We don't need that. We need to get it out of the purview of the court system and into this private realm with the parents. They've been doing a good job. They're going to continue to do a good job. And so let's do that. And then the court will sign the court order allowing for the funding of this special needs trust and appointing that person as the guardian to set it up initially. And then once that's done, then it's just done. Then you close out that.
And you're done with the government.
You're done with the court, and now you're over in the private realm, and then you keep moving on. We've got to go to a break. Thanks for the call. This is Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM KBLU.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, you, my Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Your body's gonna love this store.
Uncertainty. It's about the only thing we can be certain of. Herbs to Oils, holistic herbal approach to your good health, is a natural breath of fresh air that may very well be exactly what it takes to boost your immune system. As things change, why not consider stocking up on essential oils and herbs designed to help? Herbs to Oils is here for you in the foothills in the Fortuna Palms Plaza. Check out their classes every Wednesday and get the whole story at herbstooils.com.
At 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating, we offer essential services to help keep your home comfortable. We all know comfort is key in these challenging times. If your air system is giving you trouble, contact our team of professionally trained technicians. We are here for you 24/7 with same-day appointments available at 844-1-HOUR or visit us online at 1hourair.com.
Comfort is just a call away.
KBLU News Talk 560 is in search of motivated individuals to join its radio and digital marketing team in the greater Yuma area. The ideal candidate will have an interest in helping our business customers succeed, have the desire to be successful, the curiosity to find out more, computer skills, problem solving, creativity, and dedication are all required. Sound like a fit for you? Apply online by sending your resume to HireMeNow at edbroadcasters.com or go to our website, edbroadcasters.com, and click on Careers. El Dorado Broadcast is an equal opportunity employer.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back, Yuma, to 560 AM KBLU. Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hansen. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark. And I'll tell you right now, he doesn't have a face mask on, and neither do I.
We're more than 6 feet apart, though.
We're sticking it to the man. That's true. We are more than 6 feet apart. But
right.
we were talking about the concept of putting in order some sort of legal structure so that if you were to go to the hospital and you weren't able to make your own decisions there or talk or communicate for whatever reason. I read an article prior to coming in this morning about a Broadway actor. I don't know if you heard about this gentleman in L.A., but it's just horrible, horrible deal. Like, the more I read about what had happened to him, it was just horrible. He contracted the coronavirus back in March, about March 30th around there, and was hospitalized thereafter. And it was complications after complications. They ended up amputating his leg, and he was on life support, and ultimately he passed away. I think yesterday or the day before, leaving behind a wife and a child. And so everybody's just kind of in that community, in that Broadway community, is kind of, you know. It's heavy for them. And I was thinking to myself, man, that really got out of control fast in this guy's particular situation. And in that, while I was reading this article, it talked about how he had been comatose for probably about a month and a half, 2 months. And so he wasn't able to make decisions on his own. And the only thing he could do sometimes was, if he was kind of awake, he would look up or look down to try and respond in the affirmative or the negative, they thought, but they weren't quite sure. So that's the point where you need somebody to have authority to talk to the doctors and manage your health care decisions. We've got another call.
You're on the air.
Yeah, I want to go back to the, was it special needs or where you need a guardian?
Mm-hmm.
Is that handled the same for age-wise for other countries? If they're dual citizenship by some chance? Okay, bye-bye.
Well, I don't understand the question completely, but if you're a U.S. citizen, it's going to be the same in any state. If you are a U.S. citizen and you're in Arizona, California, Nevada, the guardianship rules of law are going to be basically the same. You petition the court to appoint a guardian and even maybe a conservator in some cases to deal with money. And then once you do that, if they're over 18 or if they're that 17 and a half mark, like I mentioned to the other caller, they're going to be treated as an adult. And when you treat them as an adult through that particular type of hearing, they're going to be looked over by the court system in a way that I understand it, but I don't necessarily agree with it all the time, because the court is going to appoint three different individuals. There's going to be an attorney that's appointed to that person. There's going to be a court investigator appointed to the case to make sure that nobody's coming in and just taking away this person's rights. And then finally, there's going to be a court-appointed physician to do the medical assessments to make sure that that person does need a guardian or a conservator or both. And so those three people get involved, and that means more fees, more time in the courtroom, and it just is stressful. And so that's the system or the process in all the 50 states in some form or fashion. And it's designed to make sure that that person that you're saying is incapacitated is actually incapacitated. And we're not just when I say take away rights, I mean that person will lose their right to vote, they'll lose their right to drive, they'll lose their rights to do these fundamental rights that we have. They lose some of those. And so the court system is very reticent about figuring out whether that person is truly incapacitated. They don't want us going around as citizenry petitioning the court and saying, oh, this person's incapacitated, take their rights away. And that's why they appoint these three people. So whether they're a dual citizen or just a U.S. citizen, it's going to be the same. Dual citizens, it's the same in the United States as if you were just a United States citizen. Whether you have dual citizenship in Mexico or not, or in Canada, it doesn't matter. As long as you're a U.S. citizen, you're entitled to all those rights that we have under the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. We've got another phone call.
Yes,
is that
you
what
you do? You're on. Oop, lost them.
Lost them.
Never
okay.
mind.
So when you go to the hospital, and if you don't have these healthcare documents in place, they're going to, and if you can talk, then they're going to say, well, here, sign this pad, this digital pad, and this is appointing, you know, so-and-so as your healthcare power of attorney and as your HIPAA authorization. So they've got things for you to sign there. There are some times where you go to the hospital, getting back to that gentleman who contracted the virus, the Broadway star, and then passed away this last weekend. He was to the point where he was not cognizant. He couldn't make decisions. He couldn't sign things when he went to the hospital. And that's when you need those healthcare documents already in place. What we do in our office is we help our clients think that process through, designate individuals. If so-and-so is incapacitated, then who's going to come next? Who's going to come in there and make medical decisions for you? Who do you trust to do that kind of thing? And then once you have that structured and you sign those legal documents, they're in force. But they don't do any good unless they are used in the healthcare setting. We like to help our clients do that by giving it to them in both physical means. They get their original documents so that they can cart those around if they want to, but I would recommend using the digital form that we give to our clients. Anything that our clients sign in our office, we scan those with our high-resolution scanners, and then we organize them on a storage medium that they can use, a USB card that they can use at home. They can print more copies. They can send off an email to the healthcare institution that they're dealing with, maybe it's their doctor, their primary care doctor's office, or maybe it's the hospital. My dad, a couple of years ago, he had a heart attack in Phoenix, and none of us kids were there. And he had called me from a hotel room, and he'd collapsed, and he was, you know, short of breath. He could barely talk, and he was just kind of mumbling, and he expressed, you know, pain in his chest and hard time breathing. And so I said, well, you need to call 911. And so we got off the phone with them and called 911. They got to him, got him to the hospital. So he's having an active heart attack.
Wow.
And he was all alone up there in Phoenix. None of the kids were around. And so we needed to get away. We needed a way for the doctors and the hospital up there to know that he had somebody that was already designated as a healthcare power of attorney agent that could make decisions for him. And I'll talk a little bit more about that as we come back. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center. And when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters, the best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
Tune in each morning for America's Morning News, brought to you by Yuma International Airport. Fly Yuma and experience the convenience, comfort, short TSA lines, and multiple daily direct flights to Phoenix and Dallas-Fort Worth. Fly Yuma, and when you're home, you're home.
Listen to 560 KBLU every Friday morning from 8 to 9 for Money Talk. Money Talk, bringing you the latest information and changes in the world of finances, brought to you by the partnerships of Academy Mortgage and Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. That's Money Talk every Friday morning from 8 to 9 on 560 KBLU.
It's the Monday Medicare Minute with Mike Arce, a local licensed agent specializing in Medicare plans on AM 560 KBLU. Hey, Russ, what is today's question?
How does my other insurance work with Medicare?
Well, if you have retiree insurance, insurance from you or your spouse's former employment, Medicare will pay first. If you're 65 or older, have a group health plan coverage based on you or your spouse's current employment, and the employer has 20 or more employees, the group plan pays first. If you're under 65 and have a disability, have group health plan coverage based on your or a family member's current employment and the employer has 100 or more employees, Medicare will pay first. And if you have Medicaid, Medicare will pay first. Got a question? Call me, Mike Garcia, at 928-581-1342, a local licensed agent specializing in Medicare plans. This has been the Monday Medicare Minute on AM 560 KBLU. Keep it real.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Decent Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hansen. This is 560 AM KBLU. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark.
Heck yeah.
And we've been talking about some of the healthcare issues that arise in our lives, especially in the lives of our loved ones. Nowadays, with this pandemic, it becomes more and more relevant because if you were to find yourself in the hospital setting and you're unable to make medical decisions for yourself, maybe you're comatose, maybe you're just out of it, you need to have a way legally to designate somebody that you trust to make medical decisions for you.
If you're married, does it automatically go to your spouse if there's nothing else?
So the hospital has a list of priority. Under the law, not necessarily.
Wow.
You have to have something written. But oftentimes what happens in practice is the hospital or the primary care physician's office, they need something. They need to act now, fast.
Right.
And so they'll have a list of priority. Oftentimes that person, that live-in girlfriend or that significant other that you just never got hitched,
right,
they're not going to have priority or have any say because legally they're not married to you, they don't have any rights, and legally they're not anything when it comes to making decisions on your behalf. And that's what we run into more often than not, are individuals that are they've been living together for, you know, decades, but they just never got married, they never got that piece of paper. And so now when it comes down to the healthcare decision-making, the doctors in the hospital, they're not giving them information because they're not married. They're not the spouse in the eyes of the law. And here in Arizona, there is no such thing as a common law marriage.
Right.
We don't recognize that. It's either you're married or you're not. Just because you live together for 30 years doesn't mean anything in the eyes of the law. I'm not saying that it doesn't mean anything. I'm saying from the law's point of view, it doesn't mean anything. You don't have any rights because you live together for 30 years. And so that's more often than not what we see happen in my office, is that you have these individuals that have been together for so long that they just consider themselves married.
And they told everybody.
They even tell each other, oh, this is my husband,
well,
this is my wife.
Right.
In reality, they never got married. And so once one of those individuals either becomes incapacitated or needs medical attention, now it becomes a real challenge because the husband or the wife, let's say, the pseudo husband or wife that really aren't the husband or wife, they run into big obstacles.
Wow.
When trying to mandate or help that individual that they care about in a healthcare setting. All that can be overcome with the proper legal planning. You can name anybody that you want in your healthcare power of attorney or in your HIPAA authorizations. And so oftentimes what we'll suggest is, well, put together a plan that has that person in there as your number one agent, and so they can make medical decisions for you, and the doctors can release your medical information, or the insurance companies can release your medical information to that person, even if you're not married. If you still don't want to get married, that's fine. You just have to have the legal structure set up in such a way that they have authority so that they can make those decisions if you cannot. And we put those plans together all the time because people are just unaware of it, and once we make them aware of the fact, oh, we need to get something in order, and we put together that healthcare package. Most of this plugs into a bigger type of comprehensive plan, though. When people come and see me about healthcare powers of attorney or about a will, oftentimes it's not just one thing or the other. It's usually a mix of a lot of different types of legal structure to make the whole comprehensive picture for that person, which comes in the form of, who's going to make your decisions if you become incapacitated or you die over your financial things? Who's going to make your decisions regarding your health if you were to become incapacitated? Those things all work together through what we call a comprehensive estate plan. Usually it entails using a living trust as a main base for financial decision making, keeping things private within the family, without having to go through a court process of probate like you started the show talking about, Russ.
Right.
So the trust is one of the best ways, if not the best way, to plan for all families. There are some times when I sit down with a family and the trust might be a little bit overboard for them, but that's very few and far between. Most of the time when I sit down with families, they'll have a car, they'll have a bank account, they'll have at least a house or maybe a rental or something like that. They'll have real estate. And when you have real estate, one of the best ways to hold that real estate is through a living trust. And so once we talk about the trust and the healthcare, it all starts working together in unison. And it takes a really finite type of planning tool to get those things to work together in such a way that it's going to accomplish what you want to accomplish, which is having those people lined up that you trust to make medical decisions for you or to make financial decisions for you in such a way that they don't have to go through a court system to get that authority. They can have it already set up ahead of time, and they're just acting. The moment you become incapacitated or the moment you pass away, they have the authority to come in legally and manage things and get things done according to what you had and what your wishes were. Oftentimes I'll meet with people and they'll say, oh, well, my son knows what to do. We've talked about it, or my daughter knows what to do, or so-and-so knows what to do. I'm sure that they do. Yeah. Maybe you've told them that, but it means nothing legally unless it's in writing. And that's the key to all this. It has to be in legal writing. Oftentimes I'll meet with clients and we'll go through the initial consultation, and by the end of that they're ready to go. They want to go forward with retaining my services and having us put together a plan for them. And I always let them know that, listen, you got to get to this next date where you sign this stuff, because if you were to pass away before then, it's like this didn't happen. You've got to have it in writing and you have to sign it before it's legally valid. And I usually say it as a joke, not so seriously. But in seriousness, that's true. Because if they were to leave my office and we've put together this wonderful plan on paper, but we've never really, I haven't drafted it and they haven't signed it, then it's like it never happened. You can't go to the court and say, well, Your Honor, this is what they wanted to happen, so let's just put this together. That's not going to happen.
Doesn't matter.
Right. It has to be in legal writing, and they have to execute that ahead of time. And in most cases, you'll have to have witnessing available as well, where people come in to witness certain things like your will and your power of attorney for finances. So those need to be witnessed under the laws of Arizona in order for them to be legally valid. There is a way to create a will by yourself, but those are the things that we don't usually recommend, because those are the ones that we usually end up having to get in there and fix once a person passes away. Those are the ones that we study about in law school, because those are the nightmare cases where a person wrote out on a napkin, so-and-so gets it all and blah, 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 you know. And then when they die, yeah, that's a legal document. That's a valid will.
That's challenged.
But what did they mean? You know, now we've got to get in there and try and figure that all out. And that's not where you want to be. The better place to be is knowing and having peace of mind, because you have a structure in place that has been vetted, that has been put together by not only you, but professionals that have helped coach you through the process, because they've done it so many times and they've seen so many nightmares. If you do this, that, or the other, they can coach you in such a way to avoid those things.
You've had all the nightmares?
Yeah. Yeah, we get all those nightmares. We get, yeah. But not because of us, because of people that have done things that, not just people, I mean, it really comes down to good legal planning and knowing what you're doing. We've had cases, I've had nightmares come from other attorneys before, just because they do this, that, and the other. Oh, yeah, and we'll put together a will for you, or we'll put together a trust for you. And lo and behold, it just was a Mickey Mouse type thing, and it ended up doing more harm than good. And so I've had those cases over and over again. So it doesn't just it's not just a case of finding a lawyer. Oh, any lawyer can do it. You need to go to an attorney's office that does it all the time. That way they can coach you through what you need in your particular family's instance, and those things that will help you avoid court processes and real heartache down the line. We'll talk to you next week. This has been Life, Death, and Law, 560 AM KBLU. Next week it'll be Sean Garner, my partner, and Russ, and we'll talk to you then.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the Deason Garner Law Firm at 928-783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU Eldorado Broadcasters LLC nor its affiliates nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Hour air conditioning.